When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
I didn't take that route to work because it was better or faster. I took it because it was automatic. One block past the gas station, left at the old barbershop, then two more to the underpass. The same every day. That alley was always there, tucked between the broken diner and a boarded-up pharmacy. And every single morning, they were there too. Cats, a whole group of them. Not kittens, not cute, just too many cats, all sitting still, not doing anything except watching. They didn't beg for food or run away like normal strays. They didn't move at all. They sat lined up like they were waiting for something, with their eyes locked forward. Their heads didn't turn when I passed, but I always felt like they were watching anyway. Their eyes were wide, too wide, like they were thinking. Sometimes one would follow me with his head, slow, deliberate, like it knew where I was going. I never stopped to look at them for too long. I just kept walking. That was the rule I gave myself. Don't stop, don't look, don't think. It was late on a Sunday. I had nothing to do, and Benny, my little white poodle, had been circling the front door for an hour. He wasn't the type to bark or fuss, so when he got antsy like that, I listened. We went for a walk, just around the neighborhood. The streets were quiet. No cars, no people. The kind of quiet that usually feels peaceful, but that night it felt wrong, like the whole street was holding its breath. I was turning the corner onto Sycamore when I noticed them. Not just one or two, but a dozen cats crawling out from under cars, fences, porches. Their movement was slow and controlled, like they were spreading out on purpose. I didn't understand at first. We were nowhere near the alley. Benny didn't notice. He was sniffing at a hydrant, wagging his tail, happy to be out. Then one of the cats hissed. Benny looked up and froze. I didn't wait. I scooped him up, held him tight against my chest. The cat stopped maybe 10 feet away. Then one jumped at me. Not high enough to hit my face, but enough to force me to swing my arm out. I smacked it midair. It hit the ground hard, rolled once, and limped back upright. It didn't run away. It just stared. All of the others stared too, like they were waiting for permission to do something worse. That's when I saw him. A man stepped out from behind a tree, tall, dressed in a long gray coat, his hands hidden in his sleeves. His face didn't look angry. It looked entertained. The cats slowly turned to face him. One even rubbed against his leg. He didn't say anything for a second, just watched me. Then he spoke softly, like we were old neighbors catching up. Sorry, they were going to hurt my dog.
Don't apologize, I saw it. They started it.
He smiled and looked down at the cat I'd hit.
They think the streets are theirs.
Then, without another word, he turned and walked away. The cats followed him, silent and calm. I stood there, holding Benny tight. I didn't move for a long time. That night, I tried to sleep. I wanted to pretend the whole thing didn't happen. Benny was curled up at the foot of the bed, quiet, like always. I left a nightlight on, something I hadn't done in years. I kept thinking about the way the cats moved, how they didn't flinch, didn't react like animals. I eventually drifted off, but I didn't sleep deep. My body felt alert, like something was about to happen,
and it didn't want me to relax. I woke up to noise downstairs. Not just noise, panic. Benny was barking high-pitched nonstop. Then there was the sound of claws on wood. Not just one pair, dozens. I jumped out of bed and ran to the stairs barefoot. Benny's barking was turning into a loud whimper. By the time I reached the first floor, I saw them. They were already inside. Cats everywhere. On the couch, the counters, the floor. Their bodies were low, muscles tensed. Benny was in the middle of the living room, surrounded. One of them jumped at him, then another. He yelped once, loud, then silence. I ran to him, pushed two cats away, and lifted his body. He wasn't moving. His eyes were wide open. His neck was torn open. I screamed and swung my arms. I didn't have a weapon. I grabbed the floor lamp and used it like a bat, hitting anything that moved. They didn't run. They fought back. One jumped onto my arm and dug in its claws. Another bit my calf. I tried to throw them off, but more came. I dropped Benny, trying to push my way out of the living room. They weren't attacking randomly. They were attacking together. They moved like a unit, like they knew exactly where to hit, where to cut, and how to make it hurt. I ran to the hallway and slammed the door behind me. One got through. It latched onto my leg. I kicked it against the wall hard and it went limp. I was bleeding everywhere. My arms had deep gashes. My shirt was soaked and clinging to my back. I pushed a chair under the handle and held it in place, breathing heavy. On the other side of the door, the cats were scratching, thumping, slamming their bodies against the wood. The noise was deafening. I backed into the corner, gasping, waiting for the door to break. Then, all at once, it stopped. Silence. Nothing moved. I stood still, afraid to make a sound. My ears rang from the sudden quiet. I looked under the door, half expecting to see blood or paws. Instead, I saw shoes. Black shoes, leather, polished. Slow, deliberate steps. The door creaked open. The chair moved like it weighed nothing. Standing in the doorway was the same man. The one from the alley. The cats were around him again, calm, obedient. They didn't make a sound. He looked at me like I was a child who broke something fragile. His voice was soft, but every word cut through the silence like a knife.
"I'm sorry. Looks like my cats got out of hand again. They really think they own everything. Even your house."
He smiled, tilted his head, and stepped in further. The cats moved aside to let him pass. I was shaking, blood dripping from my hands and face. I tried to crawl backward, but there was nowhere else to go. He looked around the room like he was inspecting the place.
"You've got a nice place. Cozy."
Then he turned to leave. Just as he reached the door, he stopped. The cats didn't move. He turned around and looked at me again. His expression shifted. The smile stayed, but the warmth was gone. His eyes, once dull and human, were now glowing red.
"Shame about your dog. Cute little fellow it was. You know, I'm a dog person too. But mine has three heads."
He said it like it was a joke, like he was proud of it. Then he laughed, not loud, just enough to make your skin crawl.
"I'm pretty sure someday you're gonna meet him."
The cats began to follow him again, single file, slow, heads low. He didn't say anything else. He walked out of the door, leaving it wide open behind him. The night outside was black and quiet. I didn't chase him. I didn't even move. I stayed there, bleeding and trembling, staring at the empty doorway surrounded by blood and silence. I don't remember how long I stayed there. My mind shut down. I think I passed out. When I woke up, it was daylight. I tried calling someone, but my phone was in pieces. I used the landline to call the cops. They showed up with animal control, looked around, took notes. Then one of them asked if I was sure it was cats. There were no prints, no hair, nothing. Just a dead dog and a man covered in wounds. I told them I fell, that Benny had been attacked by a raccoon. They nodded like they didn't believe me, but they stopped asking. I moved out 2 days later, packed what I could, left the rest. I didn't sleep at night anymore, not even in the new place. I kept all the windows locked and covered. I bought cameras. They never caught anything, but sometimes in the footage, I see things moving in the corners, fast, too fast. Some nights I hear soft scratching at the back door. I don't check. I just sit in bed, holding my knees, waiting for the sound to stop. I haven't seen the man again. I used to love animals, but now I fear them. A lot. Especially cats.
I'm 19. Still live with my parents. I don't party, I don't go out much. Most nights I just stay in my room and mess around with my cat, Murphy. Big, lazy orange thing. He follows me like he's glued to my leg. It's dumb, I know, but I film him a lot, post the clips online. It helps me forget how boring everything is. One night I caught something funny. Murphy was lying flat on the floor, staring at my ceiling fan. I had tied a sock to one of the blades. When I turned it on, the sock spun around and Murphy flipped out. He started jumping like he'd lost his mind, swatting at the air, doing that weird sideways hop. I added music, uploaded it, and went to bed. An hour later, my notifications exploded. People were sharing it everywhere, saying it was hilarious. I scrolled through the comments until one made me freeze. It said, "Watch the start. Something pulls the cat." I played the video again, first normal speed, then slower. Right at the beginning, Murphy isn't doing anything. Then his tail yanks hard to the side. He slides an inch across the floor, then starts freaking out. There was nothing visible pulling him, nothing in frame. But something grabbed him, and I didn't notice it until it was already online. I kept playing that part over and over. I checked the floor, the fan, the angles. There was nothing there, just that small, jerky motion. Murphy didn't slip. He was pulled, like someone had yanked him by the tail and let go right after. The next few nights, Murphy changed. He stopped acting like a clingy idiot and started watching things. Not regular things. He'd stare at empty corners, tracking something tall, something human-sized, as if it walked across the room. Then he'd dart out and hide under the bed. No noise, no movement. Just his eyes and that horrible silence that made me want to throw up. One time he was in the hallway, sitting at the top of the stairs. His whole body tensed. He turned his head slowly, watching something that came from behind me. He didn't blink. His eyes locked onto that invisible thing, then followed it all the way into my room. And once it got there, the temperature dropped, like instantly. My skin went tight. Not from a breeze, just pure cold, dead air. That night, it took a long time for me to fall asleep. It was around 3 a.m. when I woke up. The room was quiet. No wind, no house creaks, nothing. Just that thick silence that feels like the second before a scream. Murphy wasn't by the door like usual. He was sitting on my chest. He wasn't looking at me. He was staring at the door. I couldn't move right away. I just stared at him and then slowly turned my head. The doorknob was twitching. It didn't rattle. It moved in tiny, careful jerks, like someone was trying to open it without waking anyone. It rotated fully, then stopped. The latch clicked. The door began to open. Not fast, not with force. It drifted inward like someone was pushing it slowly with one finger, inch by inch. It moved until the gap was wide enough for a person to walk through. But there was nothing there. No sound. No reason. Murphy stood up on my chest. His body stiffened. His tail shot up and puffed out like a bottle brush. His head followed something I couldn't see. It walked into the room. I tried to sit up, but my back was stuck to the mattress, like something was pressing down on my chest and legs. Murphy followed it with his eyes, turning his head until he was staring at the space right next to me. He hissed once, then jumped into the air, claws out. He flew straight toward the empty spot beside me, and then he stopped midair. He hit something solid. The sound of his body slamming into it made my skin crawl. He dropped like a rag doll, bounced off the floor, and slammed into the wall across the room. I heard him whimper. Then he scrambled under the bed. My body was frozen, like it was being crushed into the bed. My arms felt like they weighed 100 pounds. I tried to scream, but nothing came out. My mouth opened by itself. Something started forcing it open, wider. My jaw stretched until I felt the joints starting to give. My lips split at the corners. Blood ran down my chin. The pain wasn't even the worst part. Something slid into my throat. Not a hand, not an object, just pressure. A shape that wasn't there. It pushed down, filling my throat, then my chest, then deeper. I couldn't breathe. My eyes bulged. My ribs started to burn. Whatever was going in, it didn't stop. My jaw cracked, then snapped completely. I felt bone shift, skin tearing under the strain. My mouth kept stretching, like something was prying it open from the inside with invisible hands. I felt my lower face rip open. I heard the wet sound of my flesh splitting. My jaw tore away completely. My skin peeled back. I couldn't scream. I couldn't move. My whole body felt like it was being hollowed out and stuffed with something else. Then everything went black. I woke up screaming. Daylight was pouring through the window. I sat up too fast and nearly threw up. My mouth hurt. My body felt drained. I staggered to my feet and saw it. The wall across the room had a dent in it, right where Murphy hid it in the dream. My lamp was knocked over. A photo frame had shattered on the floor. I scanned the floor and saw a few drops of blood near the foot of my bed. I ran downstairs. Murphy was in the kitchen. As soon as he saw me, he arched his back and hissed louder than I'd ever heard. His eyes locked onto me with pure hatred. He growled low and swiped at the air. He used to sleep next to me every night. Now he acted like I was a threat. My parents didn't notice anything. They were talking about weekend plans. I couldn't eat. My jaw throbbed like it had been shattered. I could barely drink water. That night I vomited 4 times. The next morning, one of my back teeth fell out. I looked in the mirror and nearly passed out. My gums were black in spots. My tongue had tiny cuts. My skin was pale, like I hadn't seen sunlight in weeks. I hadn't left my room in 3 days. Murphy started avoiding me. When he wasn't growling, he was hiding. Every time I got near him, he'd scratch or spit. I cried once, and he stared at me like I wasn't even human. 2 weeks passed. I couldn't go to school. I couldn't eat more than toast. My stomach rejected everything. I looked like I hadn't slept in a month. My body was sore. My teeth were rotting out of my head. I stopped filming anything. My account went dead. People thought I just got bored. No one knew what was happening to me. No one saw what Murphy saw. One night I woke up and felt the mattress twitch. Not shake, twitch, like someone put their hand down next to me. I turned on the lamp. Murphy was in the hallway. His body was twisted at an angle no animal should bend. His eyes were wide open. His mouth locked in a scream that didn't come out. His claws were torn off. I don't want to say more. I don't even know how he got into that shape. I sat on the floor for hours. I didn't cry. I couldn't. My body wouldn't work anymore. They cremated Murphy. My parents said it was an animal attack. They didn't ask how an animal got into a locked house. They didn't ask why there was no blood trail. They didn't even ask why I stopped talking. My jaw still clicks sometimes. My throat burns when I drink water. I've lost 9 teeth. The dentist says it's stress. My gums say something else. I think something lives inside me.
That was the first time I lived alone in a big house. The house was from my uncle, dead a year now. I had 2 cats, Moose and Penny, a job I could do from home, and a front door I kept locked all day. That was all I needed. I was new in the neighborhood, so I didn't go out much. Just groceries, sometimes a quick stop at the vet. Moose usually watched the window all day like it was his job. Penny preferred the shadows under furniture. The house was old, smelled like wooden dust, and every time I opened the closet I half expected a dead raccoon. Still, it was quiet. Until he showed up. The first time I noticed him, I was taking out the trash. He stood across the street. No phone, no bag, no expression. Just stood there, watching me. I thought maybe he was someone's weird uncle or a new neighbor. I didn't wave. I just walked back inside and locked the door. The next day, he was closer. Same spot, but on my side of the street. His head moved when I opened the curtains. Slow and deliberate, like he didn't care that I noticed. I pulled them shut again, checked every lock in the house twice, and sat on the couch pretending to scroll my dead phone. A week passed like that. Every time I left, he was somewhere. Grocery store, corner bench, across from the vet, not doing anything, just watching. I stopped walking, started running errands by car. It didn't help. He started following. That afternoon, I needed cat food. I thought about ordering online again, but the site was down and Moose hadn't eaten since morning. I waited until almost sundown, hoping he wouldn't be there, but as I stepped outside, I saw him across the street. I walked fast, didn't look back, my ears picked up the rhythm of footsteps behind me. I turned the corner sharply, hoping to lose him in the small alley next to the laundromat. When I glanced back, he was still there, same pace, same distance. He wasn't even trying to act normal. No phone, no headphones, just me and him. I walked faster, gripping my keys like a blade. The streets were empty. No cars, no one watering their lawn, not even a dog barking. Just me walking fast and him walking faster. I could hear his shoes scraping the sidewalk. My heart was hammering so loud I thought I'd faint. I turned onto Main and saw a clothing store still lit inside. The sign said, "Closing soon." I yanked the door open just as a girl inside turned toward me.
"We're closing."
"Please don't lock it. Someone's following me. Please, just for a few minutes." She looked past me and her face went pale. I didn't have to turn around. I knew he was standing right there. She let me in and locked the door. I collapsed onto a bench by the window and finally looked. He was outside, face flat, hands in his pockets, looking directly through the glass. Then he smiled. I stayed until she closed up. He was gone by then. Or hiding. I rushed home in silence, gripping my keys like they meant something. Moose greeted me at the door, tail low. Penny didn't come out. I locked the door, checked every window, and turned on every light. Later that night, I ran a bath to calm down. Moose sat near the door, twitching his ears. He kept staring down the stairs like he heard something I didn't. That's when I noticed it. His ears were flat and his back arched. I stood up from the tub, grabbed a towel, and froze. Downstairs, a faint creaking sound. Slow. Not the cats, not the house settling. The unmistakable rhythm of footsteps on hardwood. I threw on a shirt and sweatpants still dripping. My feet made wet sounds on the stairs as I moved, terrified towards the noise. The living room was dark. The TV was off. My phone crushed on the floor. Not dropped, broken, shattered like someone had stomped on it. The front door was wide open, swinging gently. The cold air hit me like a slap. I didn't stop to think. I ran straight toward it. That's when a hand grabbed me from behind. He yanked my hair so hard I nearly fell backward. I screamed, clawed at his hand, but he was too strong. He slammed me against the wall hard. My shoulder cracked. I tried to run again, but he kicked the back of my knees and I dropped. You really shouldn't be alone in a place like this. So big, so fragile. His voice was soft, too calm. He put one foot on my face and pressed down slowly, grinding like he was testing how much it would take to break my jaw. I bit the inside of my cheek to keep from crying. You and I are gonna spend a long night together. He dragged me up by the arm like I weighed nothing and hurled me into the kitchen. I hit the cabinets, dishes shattered all around me. My elbows were bleeding. I crawled away, slipping on broken plates. He didn't chase. He strolled behind me like he had all the time in the world. I ducked under the dining table, holding my breath, praying he wouldn't find me. He walked slowly, boots echoing on the tile. Then he stopped. A hiss cut through the silence. Moose launched from the kitchen counter and sank his claws into the man's face. He screamed, grabbed the cat, and slammed him into the wall with a horrible crack. Then silence. I peeked from under the table and saw Moose on the floor, twitching, bleeding. The man held his neck, blood trickling down his collar. He turned and looked at me, smiling again. That smile broke me. I came out from under the table like something possessed. I grabbed a piece of broken plate from the floor, sharp and stained red. I charged at him, screaming. He tried to block me, but I shoved it deep into his ribs. He staggered. I stabbed again, in the stomach. He fell back onto the floor, groaning. I didn't stop. I stabbed his chest, his neck, his face, over and over until the only sound left was my own breath and the plate clinking against tile. He stopped moving. I stood there, shaking, covered in blood, my hands burning. Then I saw Moose. His side moved, barely. I dropped the plate, grabbed him gently, and ran barefoot 2 blocks to the vet's house. I didn't knock, I just screamed until he opened. The vet called the police. Moose was alive, but his leg was broken. He needed surgery, but he'd survive. I sat in a blanket, silent, shaking like my nerves had been fried. When the cops came, I told them everything. The man had a record. Assault, stalking, homicide. My neighbors had seen him for weeks, but never thought to mention it. The evidence was everywhere. His fingerprints, the broken phone, the open door. They arrested me, but I was free a few days later. Moose limps now. Penny follows him everywhere. I moved into an apartment with a doorman. I still sleep with the lights on. I still keep a piece of broken plate in my drawer. Not for protection. Just to remember that sometimes you need to be ready to kill something to survive.